I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And we are very happy to welcome back Sarah Kruger, who has a CD release show going on tonight. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks for having me, Christine.
Oh, absolutely no problem. We love having you here. I was looking back at some of our sessions, and you've been here quite a bit.
Yeah, a few times.
A few times. Yep. But it's fun. It's fun when that happens because it's always nice to check in with people and kind of watch them, grow and kind of continue in their career. And you have definitely done that. You just released your latest album, Lustrous.
Yeah.
And the CD release, Duluth CD release, is tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth with Southwire opening up. And according to Facebook today, I saw you're going to have lots of people on stage with you tonight. Tell me more about that.
I think I'll have a lot of good friends on stage. We had the Minneapolis release show on the 6th and invited all those guys down to, or up to Duluth to play. And plus more, some old friends that will be joining me as well. So it'll be a good reunion. New faces and old.
Whole slew of people tonight on stage. But right now, it's just Sarah and her guitar.
Right.
And you're going to play something for us. What do you want to get started with here?
I'm going to play a track off the new record. It's called Better When You Are Around. Thank you.
Sarah Kruger live from Studio A, and that was Better When You Were Around, right? From from your new album, Lustrous. Well, you've been working on the album for about 3 years now, right?
Yeah, you know, since I released my last record, which was about 3 years ago, I started chipping away again at the studio, and now it's finally done and out. So it's been a while.
So you just kind of did it in bits and pieces?
Yeah, bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As I'd write songs, I kind of used the studio as an incentive to write, so I'd come with a couple songs and record them a few different ways, and then eventually piece together a record.
And most of it you did down at in Minneapolis, right?
Yeah, correct.
At Real Phonic Studios, that's Eric Koskinen's studio.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, but you worked with Eric, and you also worked with Eric Pollard and Steve Garrington. Tell me about that.
Yeah, they played and helped me produce a few of the songs, three or four of them, which was great. They're friends, and so it was comfortable working together. And I really wanted to bring in different sets of players and musicians. To give every song its own feel. So I was really trying to focus on songs rather than a full record. Working with them was really fun. They kind of pushed me outside of my comfort zone. And they're so great. They're great at writing and playing, and they have such a good ear. So, yeah.
Well, that's an interesting approach, thinking of it song by song. And so, mm-hmm. for example, the song that you just did, like, what were you kind of looking for on that song when you were recording it? Or is that not a good example? Is there a better example?
Oh, no. That was actually the first song I went back into the studio with, and it happened really organically, and I wanted it to have a live feel to it. And I ended up at the studio with Eric Koskinen, my friend Frankie Lee, Jordan Taylor, and then JT Bates just happened to be in the studio. And so he drummed on the song. And we played it live and played it a couple times, tracked it. And I was really happy with the warmth behind it. So just kind of wanted what I wanted for that song. And that's how it went down. Some of the other songs were much more planned out and pieced together. And we tracked a lot of different instruments on. But that one was pretty organic.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so different approach. So then when you're putting the flow together, how does that work as far, you know, you have kind of different feels for different songs. What do you keep in mind when you're doing the track listing?
I wanted some songs to be low energy and some to be high energy. And I didn't necessarily want to focus in on one particular genre. So some songs are a little bit more rock and roll. Some are more folk Americana. And, you know, with the slew of songs that were recorded, there's a handful of songs I left out of the record altogether. So I kind of listened through and went with what felt right, and what felt cohesive. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's tough to do. So there's songs lingering out there that of course didn't get on the record, but.
And you thought, oh, I wish that would fit.
Yeah,
but it just didn't fit.
Didn't sound right.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, the kind of the flow and, you know, I'm a fan of melancholy songs, and you're really good at writing them.
Thanks.
but on this album, there are a few that are a little more rockin'. And in fact, I was reading about, is it Always the Wrong Ones? You were saying you almost left that one out because it was just a little too...
Yeah, it was a little too, like, guitar dude rock driven. And we did a couple versions of it. One was more laid back, kind of poppy. And then the one that made the record was just like... guitars and like Tom Petty drums, and it didn't feel like me per se, but I loved the energy behind it, and I think it's a nice refresher toward the end of the record. It's upbeat and it's fun to play live that way too, so mm-hmm. kept that in mind.
Yeah, and it is kind of fun to have something like that on the record, not expected perhaps, but adds a little something. And then one track you did in your hometown of Eau Claire, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And you worked with Sean Carey, who's in Bon Iver, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me about that and why that particular song, and then how it all came about.
Yeah, well, I had played that song for the first time live with a few friends in Eau Claire for a show, and Ben Lester was playing the pedal steel. He's a friend of mine that's played with me live a few times before, and he fell in love with the song. He said...
And we're talking about Nothing Hits Me, right?
Yeah, it's called Nothing Hits Me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said, you need to come down to Sean's, and we'll do that tune. He just felt like it would be a good fit to do with Sean. Sean's more his own personal music is more atmospheric and really beautiful. And it was a good fit. So yeah, we went down and recorded it in Sean's studio. And, that one kind of sticks out to me as being on the record. Definitely the, you might say melancholy. It feels very melancholy. The instrumentation feels, a lot more subdued compared to the other tracks. And I was really happy with how it turned out. Yeah.
And then there's a really lovely video that Trent Waterman, who's in the band Portage, but he also does a lot of video stuff that he did. Tell me about the video.
Yeah, so, gosh, I just had that song. It gave me these visions of winter for whatever reason. And we kind of pieced together a video based off of kind of the idea of like escapism, escaping social situations where you maybe feel like you want to be around people, but sometimes you're not connecting. And so a lot of the imagery ended up being at a party scene at 2104. And then the other shots were done in March on frozen Lake Superior in a rowboat with the oars on fire. And Trent has such a beautiful, he does a great job. He can take an idea and execute it really well. It was hard for me to kind of explain my vision, and I think he did a great job. The video is really fun, too, because there's a lot of Duluth faces that you would recognize, and really random, too, that showed up for the party scene.
It is a lot of fun, and you're wearing a fabulous dress, and the whole song is kind of about, you know, take me to the party, but I'm going to sit in the corner because I'm just not feeling, what you're talking about, the connection there. And so there you are, looking fabulous in the corner, and all these people are, having a party out here, and it really is fun. And if you go to see music in Duluth, you're going to see a lot of familiar faces in that video. So definitely a lot of fun. And I had to wonder, if the rowboat on the lake was at all a nod to Low. Have you ever seen one of their early videos involved?
No. There a rowboat?
Yep. I'll have to show it to you.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. It's funny. Yep. The party scene reminds me a lot of the Low video for, I think it's for Shame, where they have the red balloons and everyone's dressed up really fancy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are obviously differences, but... that's funny that you mentioned that. Now I'll have to watch the rowboat video.
And I might even, it's a boat and it's in the winter and that's what I remember. I'm probably not even remembering it correctly, but just that image
it's out there.
kind of hit me from that, but it's a very cool video. And people can see that on your website, which is sarahkrugermusic.com, and that's Sarah with an H and Kruger, K-R-U-E-G-E-R, in case people are wondering about that. Well, let's hear another song, Sarah, and then we'll come and chat a little bit more.
Okay.
Come back and chat a little bit more. What do you want to do next?
I'm going to do a tune called Glory. I'm going to fix this microphone first. I think I got it. Okay.
The glory inside of you. Do the things you do. Kill the glory. matter much. It doesn't matter all that much to you. Oh, oh, do the things you do. Oh, oh, do the things you do. And do the things you do. Kill the glory inside of you. Do the things you do. Kill the glory.
Sarah Kruger live from Studio A, and another one from her new album, Lustrous. That's one of my favorites on the album. Tell me a little bit about that song and where that came from.
Where the song came from?
Yeah, like what inspired it?
Oh, you know what? I guess to me, it just feels like the older you get, the shorter life. It feels like life goes by so fast, and you really have to ask yourself what are you doing with your time? Are you went the line, do the things you do kill the glory inside of you? I think we're all just like blessed with this beauty inside of us, and sometimes we dumb it down a lot and we forget to embrace that. So doing things that make you feel, you know, alive and feel good is important to stop and say, what am I doing with my time? I guess that's where that stemmed from. So.
And is that something that you've, you know, had to do as you think about how to balance music with the rest of your life?
Yeah, I think we all have to do that. I'm getting to this point where everyone kind of has starting to have careers and families and kids, and which is really great. But sometimes it's best to not just go with the flow of things and stop and ask yourself, you know, what do you actually like doing with your time? Rather than what kind of house do you want to buy or how much money do you want to make? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing about the album, and maybe more later, but lustrous. What a great word.
Thanks. I love that word. And mm-hmm. honestly, that word kind of came to me and I fell in love with the word itself. And a lot of the songs, to me, I think kind of fit into this vein of working toward the light. And I think the sound of the songs, especially compared to my last record, have a little more shine to them. And yeah,
I think that's a good word, shine.
Yeah,
like Glory is one of those songs. I mm-hmm. think of it. It does have kind of that little extra. And there's a song, this title song from the album as well, Lustrous, yeah. which is a nice one. Okay, so recently you did something very fun here in Duluth. You got to be on Prairie Home Companion.
Oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
And I'm convinced that Garrison Keillor has a crush on you. Oh. I wasn't able to be there in person, but I was listening on the radio and I thought,
that's so funny.
He's really liking her. I mean, your music and, you know,
yeah.
he seemed to very much enjoy having you there. So tell me about that and what that experience was like
yeah,
for you.
Well, it was a great experience. To be honest, it was very nerve-wracking. I had gotten a call the week of, and they said, would you like to be on the show this weekend? I said, of course. And then I spent the whole week, like, nervously cleaning my house and, like, trying on different outfits and trying to figure out which songs to wear or songs to play and all this stuff that doesn't really matter that much. But I was nervous because it is a completely live show. And from what I had heard from everyone, it's very extemporaneous. You don't really know what's going to happen. And I'm okay with that. You know, I've been a performer for most of my life. I'm a teacher in front of kids. You're constantly having to do improv. But the thought of being like next to Garrison Keillor and freezing up and having the whole nation hear you is kind of daunting. But all in all, when the show happened, it all went really great. And their whole crew, their band, the staff, everyone involved is just so welcoming and nice and make you feel comfortable. And Garrison is like this awesome presence to have kind of lurking around the background. And he'll give you little tips and advice that you just kind of like, okay, you know. But what
anything,
a legend.
Anything that you can share that he
I think
gave you a tip
he
about?
He did say to me, he said, if I were your father, Sarah, which I thought was funny, he said, I would tell you, be be sure you don't give up other things that you love in your life for just one thing. I think he maybe had sensed that in my songs, or and he said, keep doing what you're doing, but do all the things you love to do. Something along those lines. I was like, okay, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, I think you did handle yourself very well, because I think the hard part is not the performing, but it's he gets in this conversation with you, mm-hmm. and you never know. It seems like they don't. You never know what he's going to ask
right.
you, and that's where
yeah.
it kind of seems like people. I thought you did very well.
Well, thanks.
Did you feel that
it
way?
It was
when
fun.
You're up
yeah,
there?
I felt like it went well. I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, of all the things that could have gone wrong, most of them didn't. So, yeah.
Well, wonderful, and a national audience. So,
yeah.
So that's kind of exciting for you, music-wise.
Yeah, it was timed out well too, with the record coming out, and so. Picked up kind of a new audience, mm-hmm. which was fun the week following the show, talking to people from all over and answering emails and mailing out CDs. And so, yeah, it was a great opportunity.
Wonderful. Are you going to be doing any more touring behind this album? Are you going to have time to do that?
I'm not planning any tours per se, but I do have quite a few shows lined up in the next couple months. A lot in the cities, some in Eau Claire, playing up at Lutzen, which is one of my favorite winter gigs. Yeah, so a couple of them are solo, some are with a band. Yeah, taking the opportunity to try some new venues and stages, which should be fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the band that you have on the album and that the people that perform with you regularly, are they all pretty much down in the Twin Cities?
Most of them are, yeah, in the Twin Cities.
And some of them used to be up here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a lot of them I know from Duluth.
Yeah.
People tend to move, mm-hmm. But most of them are in the city, so.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you tell us about the next song, and I'll come fix that microphone.
Okay. I'm actually going to play Nothing Hits Me, which is the song we discussed a little bit ago, recorded down in Eau Claire. And this song, actually, speaking of Garrison, we had picked and rehearsed maybe 5 songs, and this one he said, I feel this may be a little too melancholy for the show. I said, I think I agree with you. So here it is. It's called Nothing Hits Me.
Thank you.
That is Sarah Kruger live from Studio A, and another one from her new album, Lustrous. And one more thing I wanted to mention, Sarah, was how much I enjoyed your homegrown set this past year and how it ended with a big old dance party, all the ladies getting up there. And was it a Beyonce song you were doing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was fun. I want all shows to be like that. Fun.
Well, and it's kind of fun. I think people kind of think, and let me know if this is true for you, you think, all right, it's homegrown. I got to do something.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like every year I try and come up with something different and out of the ordinary because it's a big celebration. And everyone's out. Everyone's there. And everyone wants to kind of be a part of the action. So it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun getting people up on stage and trying something different.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to, I'm sure you'll be doing homegrown again this next year.
Oh, I'm signing up for it. So.
All right. I hope you make the cut.
Thanks. Me too.
And I look forward to seeing what you have planned for what you come up with. I'm sure you have nothing planned at this point.
No idea yet.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah. It's a wonderful record. And,
thank you.
Glad that you're getting some, exposure for it.
Yeah, thanks. And, thanks for having me in.
Yeah. Oh, always a pleasure. That is Sarah Kruger. Again, she's playing tonight. Her CD release show at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth. Local band Southwire opening up. And show starts at 10, is that?
Yeah, 10.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Today's Live from Studio 8 was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is Live from Studio 8 on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.